When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks.
You and I are going to make a lot of money.
It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
It's Pharrell Coast to Coast in the biggest way possible right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us on a Monday, a new week of Coast to Coast. Carver High here with you. Scotty out. He'll be back tomorrow from his long 4th of Pharrell weekend. Hope everybody had a very safe, happy, and healthy 4th of July weekend. Scotty back tomorrow. I'm here with you today. We'll get the Prime Minister in here in a moment as well. Very busy Monday. A lot of baseball to do, of course, and several other things. Gabe Morenci will be with us in the first hour, as always. Sports Rage Late Night, of course, here on the grid weeknights at 10. We've got George Kurtz in hour number two as we do the baseball with him. And then Coach Young getting involved. We got another trade in the NBA today, a little three-teamer. That's our Norman Powell heading to South Beach. So we have that. Summer League has started as well, the California Classic, the Utah Classic. That Edgecombe went nuts the other night for Philadelphia in his first game. So lots going on. The summer's here in mid-July, that is for sure. Like I said, Mike Carver, Carver High here with you. And joining me once again today before Scotty gets back tomorrow is, of course, the Prime Minister, Pride of Toronto, Cam Stewart, here on Coast to
Thank
Coast.
Thank you, Carver. Hi, Cam. Three in a row, buddy. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Was cheering for you over the weekend with the golfers, since my guys basically laid an egg on Sunday, as they always do. I might as well just ride your wave.
Now, you know how I do. Like, I play Homa a lot, Cam. You know that. I almost don't even like to say that I'm picking him anymore because it's so embarrassing that I continue to play Homa every week. And he gave me a ride over the weekend. I'll give you that. Like, he gave me a ride, but, man, you can't par both of those fives on the back nine at the tractor tournament. Like, that is just like you're just not going to win if you can't score on those two par fives that are sitting there on the back nine. And so Homa comes up short, and this Campbell soup, Brian Campbell, winning for
two cans.
Can you believe, Cam, this guy's won twice this year? They're both in playoffs. And his best finish besides those two wins is T32. He hasn't even come. That's why I was. Why is it? He's not a lock for the tour championship. He's not a lock for. Yeah, because he's only played well in two tournaments. Every other tournament this year, he's been awful. Crazy.
I got to tell you, Carver, next time we got the John Deere, forgetting he went to Illinois. So winning one with friends and family being there, kind of like Keegan Bradley on the East Coast. But thank God for the Canadian Football League and baseball right now. It's keeping me afloat after my loser golf pick. So
I did see you saying over the weekend how you were having a big CFL run, Cam.
I gave you and Joe Lisi. Me and Gabe gave you the stamps and the over, baby, for all our American friends on the 4th of July. And, yeah, we hit it hard over the weekend, too, as the Edmonton Elks get their first win and the BC Lions. That's, yeah. Hey, whatever league works for you, Carver, Money's green, it doesn't matter. We'll get it where we can. And right now, my golf picks, they go to die, but the other leagues are keep doing pretty good. So I'm going to stick with baseball and football.
Yeah, I did tell you I was able to drag Joe in on Thursday night for the CFL.
I didn't know he was going to go that nuts, though. I didn't know he had props, too. I just gave him a pick. Next thing you know, I'm looking at Lisi's card.
Well, you see, that's the thing. You give the guy an inch, and he's got to take 7 yards. Yes. All I did was say to him, let's play the total. You know, I was like, let's play the total, or let's take the dog who was, you know, cow who was getting a 4 or 5.5. And he's like, oh, no, he starts looking at the names. This guy all receiving yards. This guy all pad. Joe, relax.
Relax. It's one game in, Joe. Don't worry. College football's around the corner, Joe. But anyway, big baseball week, too. We'll get into it. Your Yankees salvaging one. The Mets doing me a favor, I guess, for our fans. And I don't know what to say, Carver, other than we're hot right now.
It doesn't matter what the Yankees do because Toronto never loses, Cam. So now if Toronto's going to win every single day, which they've done now, winning 8 in a row, and now find themselves comfortably, not comfortably, but they've got themselves a little couple-game lead now here in the AL East. And I think the worst thing, like sometimes, Cam, when you're hot like this, the last thing you want to see is a week off for the All-Star break, right, which is going to come at the end of this week. So we'll see if the Jays can continue. And hey, what a way to keep it going, playing the White Sox over the next few days, which is who Toronto's got coming next. So the Blue Jays have been on fire, Cam.
But the thing is, the last time they played the White Sox, that was a team that they actually took, White Sox took 2 out of 3. But now, beating the Angels by 1 run every game, that's the whole thing now, Carver. Like things, I told you, it's like kind of like that change. The things that they used to do before, finding ways to lose, it's finding ways to win. Winning 1-run games instead of losing 1-run games. And yes, maybe they could take care of business with the White Sox, who are horrible. But you know what? I don't care. All-star break, no all-star break, it doesn't matter. Wins are wins right now, and you got to pile them up. Because I'd rather take a team that's hot going into the all-star break than cold. Because they just got to keep the train rolling. That division, hell, Boston's so far back, but they're winning. Like, everybody's winning. Tampa Bay's lingering. So you just got to keep on doing your thing when you're in the AL East.
Yeah, and on the other side of the coin, Cam, of course, when you lose too much, you run the risk of getting chopped. And that's precisely what happened in D.C. as the Nationals chopped Davey Martinez and general manager Mike Rizzo. Both go out the door. Both had been there for a long time. I kind of thought Davey Martinez was in trouble, Cam, a few weeks ago. Remember when he blamed the players? And he said, you know, coaches, it's never the coach's fault. It's always, you know, the coaches prepare, everyone prepares, you know, eventually the player's got to go and do something. That's where he was probably in trouble when he decided to go and say all that to the media.
I got to tell you, though, I'm on his side. What do you want to do with that lineup? Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can have the best manager in the world coming back. It doesn't matter. Like, these guys go up, they have no pitching except for Gore. They suck. And what do you want the guy to do? Wave a magic wand? Like, that's the whole thing. The Nationals have been horrible for a long time, and they never get players for the team. And I blame the whole organization. I blame management. Like, you want to put out a subpar product? You're going to get this. So it doesn't matter. You can bring in the best manager ever. This team still reeks.
Yeah, that does happen. It doesn't really make it. Other than the Wood Doctor and really Abrams, they don't have much going on that team. And they got the first pick in the draft next week, which is a very inopportune time to go and chop your GM when you have the first pick in the draft coming up. Not a month from now, not 2 months from now, a week from now is when the Major League Baseball draft takes place. So good luck and God bless in D.C. For the Nationals and their faithful. We've got games tonight in baseball. I mentioned you Toronto's big winning streak. They'll be in Chicago against the White Sox. Cleveland and Houston. Man, Cleveland's lost. Oh, well, they lost 10 in a row, Cam, I think.
10 in a row, buddy. Guardians. Oh, this is the Guardians we knew they were 2 years. Remember, they just keep on winning. It's like, this is what was supposed to happen when you bet against these guys. All of a sudden, they lose 10 in a row. Where was this years ago? Now they're really stepping up.
I'd like to personally thank, I brought up the Astros. I'd like to personally thank Christian Walker for once again another profitable trip to Dodger Stadium this weekend, as he homered both Friday and yesterday. 2 homers for Christian Walker. I think he's homered in 7 of his last 8 games at Dodger Stadium. Unfortunately, he's on Houston now and not Arizona. At least when he was on Arizona, Cam, he made 2 or 3 trips a year to Dodger Stadium. Now he only gets to go once since he's in the American League with the Astros. But, man, that guy loves hitting at Dodger Stadium in Chavez
Ravine. It doesn't matter. If the Yankees get it back together, the Blue Jays winning, all I see is Houston. and they're just there, and they're always there, and their pitching's good, and their hitting's amazing, and they go and beat up the Dodgers. Like, the Houston Astros are like a rash, a very good one. It'll never go away. It doesn't matter what kind of creams you have. These guys are scary as hell, man.
Lots of baseball to get to later on as well. Mexico won the Gold Cup last night, too. 2-1 win over the United States. Second straight Gold Cup for Mexico. In that, you've got the last four in the FIFA Club World Cup. We've got some Wimbledon today. Are you in on the afternoon tennis today, Cam?
Damn right I am. Cheerio. I'm taking a shot with Dimitrov against Sinner. I must need my head examined. Plus 150.
We're going after Sinner.
I'm going in.
That's what I'm doing. Sinner. Yep, got a little afternoon. Well, afternoon for us, evening for them. Tennis at the All England Club for Wimbledon. So we've got our eyes there, too. It's Pharrell Coast to Coast. On a Monday, a new week, Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty. We'll come back, get it going with Gabe. A lot to do here on a Monday. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pharrell Coast to Coast here on a Monday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Scotty will be back tomorrow, of course. Every day we have Gabe Morenci with us. You can catch Sports Rage late night, weeknights at 10 p.m. East, right here on the grid. Gabe, good to see you. Hope the weekend was good. And there was a lot going on this weekend. Why don't we start here, because I know you're into it so much. What'd you think of the end of the Gold Cup with Mexico beating the U.S. 2-1. Mexico, U.S. got out to the early lead, scored the early goal, and Mexico was able to take them, got the over 2.5 there. So 2-1 final for Mexico.
Yeah, you know what, Carver? I was on the under 2.5, and obviously a disastrous start to the game. You got the early goal from the U.S. Mexico responds in like the 30th minute. And you know, like when you shouldn't believe you still have a chance of winning a bet, but you still do? I actually thought, you know what? They're not going to score again. I was like, they really will not score again. This is going to slow down. And I'm watching a CFL game at the same time, and I'm sort of trying to, let me not watch for 10 minutes and get through another 10 minutes without a goal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sort of pop back in. I'm like, oh, look, hey, we got a shot here. And then boom, in like the 70th minute, Mexico scored. I thought it was a justifiable result. You know, I think the right team won. The U.S., quite frankly, weren't very good. They scored the early goal, and there was a lot of just sort of chaos and frantic play from them in the game. It wasn't like Mexico was great either. As a whole, the Gold Cup is getting criticized pretty hard, right? Just about the quality of it, the officiating, when it is in the campaign, about the best players not playing. Because let's be real. And it's no excuse, because I saw some people, oh, good for you, Mexico, you beat our sub team. No, don't talk like that, right? Everybody tried in this tournament, but it is true, right? Like, Pulisic wasn't there. You and I talked about it. He doesn't want to get killed playing this goon stuff right now, right? Alfonso Davies got hurt playing in this stuff a couple of months ago, in the same against the CONCACAF teams. So, like, we've seen this before. You know, CONCACAF, let's just be real, it is Bush League, bro. Like, they didn't even know where the games were 3 days before. Oh, we'll tell you. It's like a secret rave. Like, you know, like, it really is like a Bush League major federation. But let's bring on the World Cup now. And as far as the U.S. is concerned, people are all down and everyone's ripping them and stuff. You know, Mike, you know, we've been around a long time. Is it ever going to change, bro? No. Like, USA and Canada, we're not, like, ever going to dominate in soccer. So don't get surprised when you lose to Mexico in the Gold Cup. Everyone, this is shameful. I mean, shameful. You know what I mean? It's been going on for 100 years, guys. It's not going to change just because, you know, it's not just that easy. Simple as that, bro.
Nope, it isn't. And you talk about all the problems. I think the thing I saw last night the most that people were bellyaching about was also the field conditions, which for these games have been pretty bad. And I think you could kind of mix in the Club World Cup as well, because these are the fields, Gabe, where the World Cup is going to be played next year. Like, these are the stadiums that it's going to take place. And I think it's a big week, kind of segue also for MetLife, because MetLife has the final next year of the World Cup. And they have all these last three games, I believe, of the Club World Cup. Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the final. All of it's at MetLife. I'm interested to see how that field holds up this week.
You're going to like this, Carver, especially everybody locals in the Jersey, New York area. Over the weekend, the Dortmund match was there, right? It was Real Madrid and Dortmund. And they opened up the broadcast. Welcome to one of the most premier sporting stadiums in the world. And they did this helicopter shot over MetLife. And I saw Twitter blow up, bro. People are like, hold on. Did you just call MetLife one of the premier sporting stadiums and event stadiums in the world? And the best is I got a bad flashback of being stuck in a parking lot. Like they did the helicopter shot, but and all you see is just parking lots and nothing around there. For the love of God, how the hell did they choose that stadium for the World Cup final, bro? Like, I just think I don't get it.
The place is a dump. Like, let's just call. I mean, the place is it's awful. Like, it is.
And there's nothing around. There's, like, so what? You go to the mall. Like, the Brazilian fans took over the Dream Mall. So you have your tailgate at a mall. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's hard to get to. There's nothing there. You got the racetrack and sports book, so I guess that'll be banging there. But yeah, it's just like really that. Out of all the stadiums, it's like MetLife. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a premier stadium for anything across the United
States. But as far
States,
as the grass, yeah, they've complained. Listen, these Euro dudes, they wake up complaining, bro. It's too hot. The fields suck. And like you said, well, newsflash, guys, the World Cup and the heat can be the same thing next summer. It really is something to think about. I think the European teams are going to struggle, bro. Just point blank. I don't want to call them soft, but like they're not used to playing. They don't play soccer in the summer generally, right? They don't. I know it sounds crazy to say. What do you mean? Like MLS does. Look at the EPL. These guys are playing on Christmas Day and stuff. Like they're more used to playing in cold weather than they are like this heat. And we've seen in the FIFA Club World Cup, for the most part, a lot of the European sides are really, really struggling with the heat. Like, they're just not the same teams. Like, it's, you know, hell, the German teams, they're kind of smart, actually. They put the bench in their dressing room, Mike. Like, so they stay in air conditioned. They don't even want their players sitting on the bench during the games. But then I think, yeah, you guys are already psyched out. Like Borussia Dortmund, like, had their players in the dressing room. It was 87 degrees. I get it. It's hot on the turf, but it's going to be something to think about. I don't know if Brazil or Argentina are good enough to win the World Cup. Argentina kind of older. Are Brazil good enough? But I think some of these South American countries are going to have an advantage in the heat next year in the World Cup.
I mean, Brazil won it here in 94.
Exactly.
You know, Brazil won the last time it was here. They beat Italy in the final.
It's a lot like all sports, Mike. Certain continents don't do well in certain places. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the South American teams never win when it's in Europe. They just don't.
Yeah.
The European teams never win when it's somewhere hot, and it's not in Europe. There really is sort of a method to it. And then you sort of get, like, the Brazils that, like, love the, you know, the U.S., the neutral ones, Japan, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, USA. You know, they sort of step up in those ones.
Yeah, they usually do. All right, we'll come back, Abe. We'll get some baseball, and including Toronto never loses. And they are taking over the AL East right now. It's pretty amazing, and some other things. Frel Coast to Coast on a Monday. Gabe Morenci's with us. We'll be back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back for El Coast to Coast here on a Monday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Gabe Morenci is with us, of course. Sports Rage late night, weeknights at 10 p.m. right here on the grid. All right, Gabe, I'm going to get to the Reynolds thing in a minute. We'll start the baseball, though, with the Blue Jays, who have won 8 in a row. So they take 4 from the Yankees, and they back that up by sweeping the Angels at home over the weekend. They're starting to now open up a little bit of a lead in the AL East, and now they get to play the White Sox for a couple days, which should, in theory, add even more to that winning streak.
What's been impressive about the Blue Jays is they beat good teams. And then after, when it's like a classic letdown spot, they beat the bad teams, right? And the Angels aren't even a bad team, and the Angels were playing well going into Toronto. But, you know, this all started, bro. They beat up on the Oakland Athletics. This is what got it going about a month ago, actually. And it was like, all right, you know, you beat the Athletics. I think it was a 4-game sweep. It was like, all right, let's see what you do now. All right, you're going on the road. What are you going to do now? They did pretty well on the road, right? It was like, okay. And then they came back home. And you know, I remember weeks ago I told you, man, they have that Yankee-Canada Day series circled about building up to that and overtaking the Yankees. And it actually happened. And not only have they done that, they're three games up right now. The Yankees in a free fall. They got a much-needed win yesterday. But how about this from a betting perspective, guys? The Blue Jays were like 11-1, 12-1 to win a division before the year started. They were plus 650 midweek last week. So after like Canada Day type, they won the first game. After the, I think it was after the second game, they were plus 650. You know what they are right now? Plus 140 to win a division. The Yankees are plus 100. The Blue Jays plus 140. The Rays, we talk about them. You can't dismiss these guys, but they got a massive road trip to conclude the season. 47 of their first 59 games were at home. And the Red Sox, Orioles, don't forget about them. But, wow, Mike, plus 140 only now for the Blue Jays. If I had to ask you right now, do you think the Blue Jays are going to win a division?
Oh, well, look, I've been for years been a complete Yankee pessimist. I don't think the Yankees are that good, even as a Yankee fan.
No, I'm thinking
fan,
Blue Jays
don't...
or Rays, actually. I'm thinking, yeah, let's just not dismiss the Rays because Blue Jays they can't play at this pace forever. You know what I'm saying?
The Yankees have a lot of problems. And if the Blue Jays are going to play like they have in the last month, they're going to win the AL East or at least get their biggest challenge from Tampa, who still has to deal
Yankees,
with that big
Mike,
road trip.
I think you guys got to worry about the wild card a little bit, like to be honest, because I don't think the Jays are going to keep on winning. And they get the Rays that are just the Rays, well, guys. Who cares? You could put them on Pluto and they're going to win. It doesn't matter. Like, they're going to find a way in this team. You know, so that wild – and the Rays and Jays are sort of like building up a wild card lead too, you know?
Right. But as many problems as the Yankees have, I don't think they have enough that they'd completely miss the playoffs. Like, I think that they have enough.
And other teams good enough too.
They'll beat up. They still will beat up on these other teams that they see, the AL Central teams, some of the NL teams. Like, they're going to get their wins. They're going to get their 88 to 91 wins just by beating those teams up. Their problem is they are awful against the AL East. Toronto, Tampa, even Boston and Baltimore aren't even that good this year. They can't beat teams in their division, and that's where the Yankees suffer, and that's where they're going to have their problems moving forward. Toronto actually goes Chicago and then to Sacramento to finish the first half. They play the A's again this weekend. So that's six games against the White Sox and A's, and they're on an eight-game winning streak going into it. I mean, that's like they could take five out of six of those games
this
week.
If they keep the pedal to
the
metal. And I'm sure they're obsessed with it, right? Don't let up. We've got 1 week left here before the break. It could be that classic, too. If there's one time you would not want a break right now, if there's one team, would be the Toronto Blue Jays, huh? That's the thing.
That
I was thinking about that. I was like, wow. Imagine these guys going to the break on like a 13-game heater or something, and they're off for 5 days, you know?
Can you believe I saw the Brian Reynolds story and you tweeted too? This guy's got a no trade list of all the best teams: the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Padres, the Giants. He don't want to go to any of the good teams, Brian Reynolds, if the Pirates were to trade him.
So people are trying to figure it out. Like, of course, it's political. He doesn't want to live in a liberal hellhole. Other people are saying it's taxes. Other people are saying he's just a mediocre loser that doesn't care about winning. Now that it's leaked, he's going to get asked about it, Mike, right? So we have to have an answer. I don't know. He's probably going to, I'm loyal to Pittsburgh. And you know what I mean? That's probably what he'll play. Yeah. But seems pretty crazy, eh, guys? Both New York teams, the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, San Francisco, San Diego. The guy clearly doesn't want to be on a good team.
He does not. Gabe, we'll see you tonight. Sports Rage late night, 10 p.m. East here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pharrell Coast to Coast here on a Monday. Carver High and Cam Stewart. In for Scotty on Sports Grid at Sports Grid Radio. All right, I got to bring this. We got to keep our eye on this game because this would be just a monster upset over at Wimbledon. The fourth round match, of course, number one seed Jannik Sinner, the cheater, is taking on this Dimitrov.
Tiger ball.
Well, he's a cheater, Ken. I mean, Ken, this guy got. He, all right. I mean, he's a
creams.
He had like the like the Canelo, I ate some bad meat in Mexico excuse, this guy. Like, you know, all of it, you know, that was his problem. So he's facing this Dimitrov, Grigor Dimitrov, Grigor, who's the 19th seed. So at least this guy's seeded. He's not a nobody off the street, but still massive potential upset here. He's down two sets to none. So Dimitrov won the first set 6-3, won the second set 7-5. Live right now, Dimitrov's now favored, Cam, minus 125 at the book I'm looking at. Even money for Sinner. Sinner's even money, and he has to win three sets in a row. That's just stupid, Cam.
Well, they want me to they want me to cash out, and I'm like, you know what I mean? The set bet's already good. Like, Sinner was supposed to win this thing three sets to nothing. And I only put $30 on it at plus 950, but I can win almost $300 for a $30 bet. So what's the deal here?
So he was 950 pre-match?
Yeah. This at the start of the match, I only put 30, yeah, but now I hit it again. I hit it again at plus 280 when before we started the show, when it was tied in the second set. And Dimitrov broke him, and then Sinner, it was crazy. And then he just won the second set. Then they closed the roof. There was a 10-minute break. Now Sinner has time to regroup because they've closed the roof. And now we're going into set three. He can regroup after this. I'm riding this thing to the end, man. I'm riding it all the way to the end.
What goes on at this place? Like,
I know, this is what I'm talking
about. This last week.
I know.
All their little tricks and their nonsense. Breaks for closing the roof, curfews, sunlight. Well, they'll do anything.
It really hurts the dog. I mean, what? It hurts the dog. Dimitrov is playing the match of his life. Sinner doesn't have his A game today. And now he has time. Like, it used to be they always did this stuff for the, bathroom break for the top seeds. It's like, hey, losers, why don't you guys do this stuff? Like, why don't you play the game when these guys, like, all the best, they find reasons, ways to make things work for them. If I was Dimitrov, I'd be like, but you know what? He's got to keep his eye on the price. Sinner down 2-0, and the books are telling you everything you need to know. You're only getting plus 100 with him, and you lay a quarter with Dimitrov. I'm on him. I don't need to lay a quarter, but I'm riding it to the end, Carver. I'm not getting off this horse.
If this actually somehow happens and he ends up taking one of these last three sets, that's huge for this Shelton kid, right? Because Shelton's supposed to face the winner of this
Shelton's
match.
Shelton's on
fire. So Shelton thought he was going to be staring at the cheater, Sinner, in the next round. He might get this Dimitrov off what will probably be a tough, long, grinding match if he can somehow finish it off. So that's huge for Shelton, the 10th seeded American, who's on having himself a little bit of a run at Wimbledon.
Great call. And this is going to be one of the biggest upsets. I'm not going to lie to you, Carver, at the start of the match. I bet it because of the number. I'm just trying to get rich on this stuff, and that's what I do. Like, I didn't think – I thought he could have a spread chance. Like, I didn't think Sinner was going to beat him in three straight. I thought he might get one. I did not expect this, though. This has been a brilliant performance by Grigor. Well, like, he's on fire right now, and I'm praying that the crowd gets behind him instead of Sinner, because this would be – a 10-1 upset almost is absolutely massive. Like, Sinner doesn't lose. That's the thing. And this is good for Shelton, Alcaraz, all the other guys that are left here. Djokovic, like, you get this guy out of the tournament, it's anybody's ball game now. This is monstrous.
It really is. This would be unbelievable if it were to happen. So we're going to have to – this might actually – I usually don't have the TV on Mondays, Cam, because
this is our usual – golf. This is like our new golf first round. Right out the game.
Now I'm
going
to have to get this Sinner match on and see if this guy can take down Sinner here over at Wimbledon, the All England Club, on a Monday afternoon as we start the second week of Wimbledon.
You're right, though. This tournament, a lot of flaws this year. I don't remember it being this bad. Get some new lights on the loser courts. Like, I don't know. You guys,
there's
I don't care
if
tradition
or
whatever. Like, get it together. Yeah. Get it together. It's been delays, BS, a lot. I've never seen it run this weird. It's been kind of shocking, actually, how stupid it's been.
It's like 2024.
Like, what are you doing here?
Let's get things. Let's move things in a little bit of a different direction.
I'm with
here
you, Carver.
And start getting going.
Yeah.
All right. I got lots of baseball because, look, it's July. We're still a few weeks from football, and it's a give me a lot of baseball over the next couple of weeks. That's kind of how it goes. Let's do some stuff from the weekend first, Cam. The Red Sox put up a beating on the Nationals all weekend long. We told you what happened with the Nats, firing Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. But basically, Trevor Story tore them up all weekend long. He was at it again yesterday on Nesson.
Got another chance right here. A swing and a high drive into left field. That's deep. That is way, way back. She is gone. Man, is he cooking. Home run number 14, a two-run shot. Red Sox with a 4-0 lead.
Yeah, he smashed them all weekend, Cam. He had a homer against them on Friday, that early morning 4th of July game story got going, and he just he's gotten hot right now for the Sox. And that, of course, led to the Nationals chopping everybody. They did announce today that the great Miguel Cairo will be the interim manager. Remember Miguel Cairo? He played for like 19 teams, Cam, when he was in the
exactly.
majors.
Well-traveled. Well-traveled.
could be well-traveled.
I'm sure Miguel
Cairo,
after this he's bringing
year,
it. Come on,
the next couple months go. Could be well-traveled in the coaching department.
Hey, Carver, story with the golf. You got the Scottish Open this week. The way this guy's going, you're going to have to put some things together with Trevor Story. He's been on fire.
Hey, that's like a and we're gonna I do have some time carved away for that later, Cam, but that is like a major quality field that they have at the Scottish Open this week. There is some, you talk about heavy hitter week over there. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So there you go. Miguel Cairo will be the interim manager. Elsewhere, Yankees beat the Mets 6-4, salvaged the weekend as the Mets beat them on Friday and Saturday. It was Aaron Judge on Sunday salvaging it for the Yankees on the YES Network.
In the left center field, that ball is going to be gone. Just over the wall into the seats. A two-run home run for Judge. And it is 5-0 Yanks.
Wow. How about that? So Judge does homer after... look, Cam, it was a tough weekend for the Yankees. I know they won the last game, but... the Mets took him to town on Friday and on Saturday.
I'm going to tell you, they win that last game too, like without judging. There's big problems here. That's the thing. First of all, you get swept by the Blue Jays on the road for the first time. The Blue Jays have ever done that. And then you're playing your biggest National League rival, your city rival, and they take 2 out of 3 from you. So I got to believe you'll have George Kurtz on the show later on. You guys can talk about it, but the Yankee vibes right now, this team's ice cold. And I guess a lot of people are upset.
They're low. They're very low. I'm not going to lie to you. As they should be. They should be low.
Yes,
because I think that George is he's a little realistic like me. I think he understands that this team's really – they're just not good enough, whether you like to hear it or not. They'll never win with that manager. I have always said that. They're down another starter now. This Clark Schmidt's likely got to have Tommy John surgery. So he's finished. That's another pitcher out of the rotation. I did see this report that they were very interested in Eugenio Suarez from Arizona for third base. Now, that would surprise me, Cam, only because I just don't believe that Hal would scrounge up a couple of quarters from under the couch to go trade for somebody who would actually make some money. I don't think that he would actually do that. That's not in Hal's style the last couple of years, especially in season. I saw they signed that Jaime Candelario, who the Reds released. That's more their style, going the discount aisle, as opposed to trading for someone who's actually having a huge year like Suarez.
That's a good call, Carver. And you know what? You need a third baseman. You should have got somebody better, because this is not going to be easy down the stretch, right? With the Blue Jays, Astros, other teams, Detroit's on fire too. So that's the whole thing. You've been doing this dance the whole year, and it doesn't seem to be working very much. Like, you'd think the Yankees would pony up, but they're not.
Finished. Well, they'll make the playoffs just because everyone else in the American League stinks, but... they're not going to do anything of any kind of significance this year. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Monday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Monday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Of course, we're watching this Sinner-Dimitrov match. Sinner did just go up 1-0 in the third set. Our boy Gino sent us this, Cam, and it's good info. Dimitrov, when he's up 2 sets to love, 77-1. Sinner, when he's down 2 sets to love is 2-8. So that does not happen very often, him getting down.
I wouldn't believe a 2-8 because the guy's so damn good. You'd think he would have come down from starting slow against a couple like grinders and coming back and winning 3 straight. That actually surprises me. The Dimitrov one is 77-1, too, while leading 2 sets to love. That's amazing.
And I was actually looking at the Dimitrov character. He's actually been around a while, Cam. He's not an unknown guy. That's for sure. This Bulgarian, Grigor Dimitrov, who's now 34 years old, and he's actually made in his life like $30 million, Cam, playing tennis. Yeah, so good. Dimitrov isn't, I know, listen, I'm not the tennis guy around here. You're getting some extra tennis. We're tennis guys today, Cam, me and you. And we're tennis guys during majors. During majors, we like to try to dabble a little bit.
I just
bit
like
tennis,
underdogs, Carver. I like pooch stories. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the center of the
Everyone
guy. Oh, yeah,
pooches.
He's going to destroy him. I just want this guy to get it done. Like, it would be awesome. Like, 16 seed. The guy's a good player. Yeah, you know what I mean? But to beat center, that'd be huge. It's actually good
it
for the American, too, as you said, for Shelton and everybody else in his futures
on. Shelton. Give Shelton a chance to get to the semis.
Damn right.
All right. We'll keep our eyes elsewhere. Orioles beat the Braves 2-1. They swept them this weekend. Awful weekend at home in Atlanta. The Braves got swept by the Orioles, who stink. So that's an awful weekend all around for the Atlanta Braves. Phillies beat the Reds 3-1 yesterday. Zach Wheeler, complete game, one hit, one run, which I think was the Hayes homer, right? I think the Austin Hayes homer was the only hit that he allowed all day. He had 12 strikeouts, but he needed some runs late in order to get the win. Those were provided by Bryson Stott on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
That one's hit well. Deep to right field. It is gone! Wow. Off the auxiliary scoreboard. Two-run home run for Bryson Stott. And the Phillies have taken the lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Big win for the Phillies. And, you know, me and you, Cam, at the end of last week, we did all those awards. We in did. The NL, and Skeens was still the favorite, and we're going to talk about him in a little while. Wheeler, you know, here's the difference, and I know they don't like to use wins anymore for all these for the Cy Young awards and things like that. But you know, his team wins when he pitches, Cam. You know, I feel like there needs to be some kind of still something that shows that, and Wheeler does when he pitches, the Phillies win. When you go complete games with 12 strikeouts. That's huge. I mean, Skeens, they're in like a dip right now where they've been pulling him after like five innings, I guess, to keep his innings down. He only threw like 70-something pitches yesterday, and they took him out of a scoreless game in the fifth inning. So Wheeler is a little bit more of a workhorse at this point than Skeens is, obviously, young in his career. I'd actually make Wheeler the favorite right now, Cam, off his last couple performances.
Great call, Carver. We talked about this. Wheeler was plus 165. I said, that's if you're going to play it. And I agree with you. We're old school guys, but Wheeler, like the guy stays in games. All he does is take a look at the guy's numbers, too. Like 12 strikeouts. I get it. Paul Skeens is a very important part of the Pirates' future, but Zach Wheeler is doing this now, and he's a veteran. He's been around the block before. I almost think it's an underrated thing. So, you know what? I'm with you. I think Wheeler, like, it should be his, but. A lot of people, it's a popularity contest, right? And Skeens is the younger guy, but I think Zach Wheeler is absolutely incredible.
He is, and he has been that so far, that's for sure. Also for the Phillies, we mentioned the Yankees need third base help. The Phillies need relievers. They are reportedly targeting Pirates pitchers, relief pitchers, David Bednar and Dennis Santana. Santana's the guy that tried to fight the fans in Detroit a couple weeks ago, Cam. I know you remember him. He's
wild man.
The drunk fans in Detroit a few weeks back. And me and Gabe were talking about that Brian Reynolds story. I guess it got out what his no trade list is. Yankees, Blue Jays, Mets, Dodgers, Giants, and Padres. He doesn't want to play for a winner, I guess. Doesn't want to play for a winner, Cam.
Brian Reynolds likes staying. Hey, just make money and lose, buddy. That's the name of the game. Like every team in contention there. Good stuff there, Reynolds Rap. That's crazy.
Good job.
That's who you want to go to. I don't get that.
We, of course, mentioned the Jays. They beat the Angels 3-2. Sweep the series. They've won 8 games in a row. Look at their World Series odds, Cam. Just over the last little while now, they opened at 8 at 60. Last week they were 35, and now they are 19. Still a pretty good price, considering you know, they're another good week away into the All-Star break from maybe having the best record in the AL.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You look at that number 35. Are the Jays going to win the World Series? No. But the bottom line is, you know, you get into them. We had great odds before to win the division and wins over at the start of the year. We'll start with baby steps with these guys. A lot of baseball to be gone, but I'll tell you, Carver, like, you've been riding Barger and all this. The relief looks like it's really coming together. And I don't know what the hell George Springer's doing, but encapsulize it. This guy's been one of the best players in baseball. It's just shocking to me. Every time he goes out there, just clutch hits. He's getting guys on. The Blue Jays are even like things they've never done before, hitting runs. It's just everything is different. Like, I'm just watching this team going, where the hell was this the last 3 years? But and they're winning games that are really, really tight, which is very, very positive.
And I know I said in the AL, they're four games back of Detroit now for the best record in the American League. So it's not like they're
pretty impressive
that far out from even getting. Detroit's been a machine, as we know, throughout the first half of the season. But Toronto and Houston, Houston's two back of them, one game in the loss, and Toronto's four games in the loss behind them. So not too far behind, as they say. All right, we will come back, Cam, and I'll give you a couple more things from the weekend, including the Cubs beating up on the Cardinals. That was another, a lot of homers there the weekend. The wind was blown out except for last night, and they still pounded them 11-0. We'll do that. A few of the other late afternoon games, I mentioned that the Pirates didn't score for Skeens again. They didn't score all weekend, the Pirates. As in, they didn't score a run all weekend in Seattle.
Zero yards. That well. That's hard to do.
For Coast to Coast on a Monday, we're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back for all Coast to Coast here on a Monday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty. Yeah. On Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. So Sinner and Dimitroff are tied at twos in the third set. And Cam, as the music about to start playing for us to come back from the break, I hear Cam say, what is he hurt? He's grabbing it. What's going on, Cam? Is your boy all right? You got big tickets.
Oh, he's laughing. He's crying. He's hurt. Oh. And you said it, Carver. The locks are up at the sports book. I'm in jail. Lock him up. Like, I'm like, this does not look good. Like, imagine this. You have this guy in the ropes, 2-0, 2-2. Oh, my God, in the third set, it's 2-2. It looks like his pec. I don't know if he's down on the ground.
Is he down on the ground?
He's on the ground. The guys will tell you. Yeah. The boys are, he's still there. He's talking to his coach right now. But this does not look good. He's in the chair now, but he's not looking
too
good.
You imagine this guy wins the first two sets against this number one seed.
That's when you know I am just an absolute lemon. Like, I am the lemon. I am the citrus fruit. Like, you got to be kidding me. +950? Like, come on, Gregor. Why? What are you doing? Anyway.
Gregor. Get up.
Help. Give him help, Gregor.
Hey, Gregor, put the clear on his peck right now.
Where's Sinner's bomb? Hand it over.
Sinner's bomb. elsewhere, I'm always a big fan of this guy in the Bay Area. He rang the bell for me on a late Sunday night start in Sacra Tomato. Giants beat the A's 6-2. Willie Adames downtown on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Adames hits a high drive. Left center field. It is here.
How about that? Willie Adames. I got to tell you, Cam, I'm tired of all I hear about, and you know me, I'm in a big on the home runs. I'm in on overs and things like that. I'm tired of everyone telling me about the Sacramento. Sacramento, the first couple weeks of the season, yes, there was definitely some higher amount of runs. That has cooled big time. Every time now, every series that the A's are home, runs. Wind's blowing out. Park's receptive. There was one over, I think, this weekend with those three games that they played. I'm tired of it. It's not the launching pad that everybody thinks.
Great call
that
by you, Carver. But I will say this, and Gabe's right. Like, can't you just call these guys Sacramento? I know you're building the stadium in Vegas. Like, it's disrespectful to the city too. Well, that's a problem. So why should they support you then? If somebody came to my town and they wouldn't want to name the team after the name of the damn city, I'd say screw you too. It's like ridiculousness. It's nuts.
Yeah, Sacra Tomato not getting the respect that they deserve.
Gregor's done. This guy's just rubbing his arms. Like, I can't even watch this anymore. I'm gonna actually throw something. This guy's done. Like, he's sitting in his chair. Like, he's got no arm. What's he gonna do? You got an arm?
Oh, boy. he's in big trouble. The Cubs came into the weekend, not a great record recently against teams with winning records. That changed. They beat the Cardinals 2 out of 3. They smashed them Friday, then they smashed them again last night, 11-0. We're going to talk about these all-star picks later, but one guy who's absolutely stupid that he's not going to the game is Seiya Suzuki. He leads the National League in RBIs, and he hit his 25th homer last night on ESPN.
Smokes this one to right center. And it is gone! We are down. Seiya Suzuki, another homer, another RBI, and another reason to get him in the home run derby.
My work here is done.
Kind of silly, Cam, and I know we're going to do the snubs and things later, but the guy's got 77 RBIs.
Amazing.
They have 80 RBIs by the All-Star game. He's not going to be in the game? Now, I'm sure someone's not going to play, and he's going to be the first guy, because that always happens. Now you get the announcements yesterday, and then over the next several days, you'll get the mass exodus of guys who don't want to go, and then a whole new slew of All-Stars get named as replacements, and I'm sure Suzuki will be at the top of the list, but... pretty glaring omission right out of the gate. He showed it last night. Another homer, bunch of RBIs. Good night.
How good are the Cubs, Carver? Like, is there one of these teams? They just keep on rolling and rolling and rolling. Like, you know, they're just very dangerous.
Yeah. They're dangerous. I think that there's a couple teams that they'd be good matchups for, and then there's a couple teams I think good pitching could quiet them significantly. And I'm not sure that they have the pitching to be able to go mano a mano with those teams down the line. But I think that they're absolutely a playoff team, and we'll see. We'll come back, hour 2, coast to coast, next on Fringe.